Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I gotta take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You gotta take in all those big aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
Should have never been a fad. The Black IPA is delicious.
Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And we're on location. We've left the studio and came out to Oak Park.
It feels good, man. And we got a doozy on our hands. We are on location at Boulevard Studios in the historic Boulevard Arcade. And we've got a fantastic group of folks here. This is all about the Oak Park Microbrew Review, the 15th year. Let's start there. Let's see. We got Gary from Seven Generations Ahead. We've got two ladies we've known for a long time in the beer industry. We've got Jana. We've got Heather. And we've got Mr. JT Stoner, the Stone Man, who's running the show here at the studio. I don't know where to start, but Gary,
Let's start with the studio. We're here. It's sounding great. Let's get into that.
Take it away, Mr. Yeah. Stoner.
Thanks, Nick. Thanks, Brad. Thanks for being here. My name's Trent Stoner. We are here at Boulevard Studio in the historic Boulevard Arcade. Used to be an old shopping arcade. Most people ask where the pinball machines were, but it was actually like a European boutique mall. We've transformed it into a shared workspace. We got 24 private offices, 3 meeting rooms, a coffee bar opening up very soon, Cribby Coffee from Forest Park coming over. Hopefully going to be open in time for the Beer Fest. It's coming right down to the wire. And my favorite place is where we are right now, Inside Boulevard Studio, which was designed by legendary acoustician Rick Talaski, Oak Parker. He designed some of the greatest theaters and performing art centers all across the world. But perhaps most notably to Chicagoans, he designed the Pritzker downtown, which is an outdoor acoustic marvel, won a lot of awards. And he did it right here in this studio, which used to be an acoustic lab, an acoustic design lab, where he would do things at model size, take it out to the job site, and do it at scale. We've converted it to a recording studio. We do podcasts, we do music, do a lot of industrial video, and we're kind of new. We haven't been promoting much. We've been just kind of staying quiet through the pandemic, waiting it out, but here we are, and we're all part of the Beer Festival, the Microbrew Review next week, so thanks a lot.
That's awesome. Yeah, the space is beautiful, and Nick, it's definitely cooler. We've been in the space at my house that doesn't get AC in the room. So
it's a gorgeous space. It's sound ready. I mean, and then I think Heather pointed out, when you walk in, this room is suspended, right? And you know, I was reminded of the sketchbook episode where we were by the blue line and we had to have hand signals at Pilot Project. None of that here. There's a train here, but
we don't even hear it.
You can feel the difference as soon as you walk in this room. It's a really nice space.
Yeah. I had never, first of all, I learned a new word with acoustician. Uh-huh. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
That was a new word I learned. And then when we got the tour and he showed us all the suspension, I'm like, this is so cool. And you can really hear yourself, good or bad, what you might sound like on a recording studio.
That's great. So do we get into the festival, 15 years?
Let's do it. I think
We've been talking about it for a while. We've been excited to see it back here again. I believe it was back last year, and the year before that it was sort of a virtual thing, correct?
Correct. We were in person last year, still kind of a smaller event because there was still some uncertainty around what was happening, but smaller events. But it was great to be back in person. Like, everyone, like, it was just nice to be back in person. We had a rainstorm in the middle and no one cared. Like, it was beautiful. We have a great picture of Gary standing out in the middle of the rain. It was a great event. It was great to be back in person. Yeah, the year before, we did two virtual type events in the two prior years. But we're back full this year, 15 year anniversary. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Nick, we were here probably 5 years ago.
It felt like five. It was more like three. I think it was 2019. It was 2019, and we went to we took a cab and went to the Big North. And went to the Big North after that. Now, Gary, you've been around. We haven't been to all 15, but I imagine you've been around for most of them. Was it always in that same space? And do you remember the very first fest at
Well, I actually founded the event, so.
So Gary's been to a mall, man.
So yes, I have been to a mall, and I founded the event with Pete Crowley, who's was at the time brewing for Rock Bottom Chicago, and I started to go to Rock Bottom and then to one of his beer dinners and approached him and said, "Hey, would you ever consider doing a beer fest for a nonprofit?" And he kind of looked at me because a lot of people asked him that question because he was the president of the Illinois Craft Brewers Guild. And he looked at me cross-eyed and he said, "Well, where would you want to do it?" And I said, "Oak Park." And he had extended family out here. So he said, "Absolutely." And since that time, we've just become famous, close friends. And we started off the beer fest. About 550 people attended the first event. And it's literally a fundraiser for Seven Generations Ahead, which is a nonprofit that I started 21 years ago. And we really work to build environmentally sustainable and healthy communities. Obviously, the climate crisis is a huge issue, perhaps the single most existential threat to humanity at this point. And so we're doing our part to advocate for solutions that are going to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. And this festival is a fundraiser to support our work. And so, you know, the wonderful thing, and again, I'll just to talk about Pete a little bit, is that once he transferred and founded Haymarket Brewery and Pub, and of course the head brewer there, Pete is always looking to support nonprofit causes and also to bring along brewers who are or aspiring brewers. And he's done a lot of work with emerging black and brown brewers, but Pete has worked with everybody over the years, anybody who expresses interest in brewing. And so he's part of this craft beer scene that has a give back mentality. And fortunately, Seven Generations Ahead was really fortunate to be a recipient of that. So we started 15 years ago, and a little over 500 people. And in our big heyday, we were between 3,500 and 4,000. Once everybody and their mother start to create craft beer fest, we kind of leveled off at about 3,200. Then COVID hit, and now we're building the fest back up. So.
But last year was. You had a pretty good turnout because, like, I've heard from a couple people that live in Oak Park that like,
"Oh, it's great!
To see it back."
Oh no,
yeah. It was packed, and
we had 1,800 folks. Yeah. So
and 700 tickets sold the day of.
Yeah,
that day, that because it was nice. People realized it was still happening. It was an event outdoor. They could be out.
People were
yeah.
like weary yeah. on like, "Oh, should I go?
Yeah.
All right,
yeah, I'll go. Let's go." I'm going to prompt you, Gary, to talk about the zero waste aspect of the yeah. event and what we do for that and to ensure that it's zero waste.
Yeah,
I need the microphone.
So the zero waste component, of course, is a partial reflection of Seven Generations Ahead mission. In addition to reducing greenhouse gas emissions, we're working with communities, schools, institutions to reduce waste. Anything that we do from an event standpoint is going to be a zero waste event. And for this event, there are really four major components. One, we provide a 5-ounce tasting glass. So it's a souvenir glass. You take it home. We're not providing solo cups. Right. Secondly, we make sure that all of the food vendors are supplied with compostable serviceware. So we don't even give them that choice. They have to use that serviceware or they're not involved in the fest. Third thing is that we require all of our vendors to, if they're bringing any other materials in, for those materials to be recyclable or compostable. And the fourth thing is that we have waste stations where we have volunteers that help everybody who's had 3, 4, 5, 10, 20 5-ounce sips of beer to figure out what to put where. And we have compost bins, recycling bins, and then and landfill. Honestly, the only landfill material that comes in, this is an open event, so anybody from the community can walk through. You can bring your dog, your kids, you know, your 90-year-old mother-in-law, whoever you want. But
or cats. Brad's got a couple of cats.
Exactly. Cats. So we can't control what people bring onto the venue, but we can control what our vendors are doing. And then, okay. you know, And then, of course, everybody's getting a taste of glass. So there's, unless you're bringing trash to the event. so it's literally from our production standpoint becomes a, you know, 90-95% zero waste event. And that should not be that difficult a thing for any event producer to do. We've done it for 15 plus years.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of, or most beer fans that don't have food, you have your taster glass at home. So hopefully that waste is, in general, small. For the average beer fest, too.
You would hope. I mean, the very first time I organized a beer fest back in 2010, it's been a million years ago now, we got glasses, and the venue was so happy. At first they were like, oh, they're going to break, and then when they realized there weren't solo cups and garbage everywhere, by the end of the night, they're like, this was brilliant. And I was like, great, I'm so excited. So it's, I'm glad that Fest Up kind of picked up on that aspect.
Yeah, well, and you say that you think that it would be pretty easy to be zero waste at this point, but actually Josh Noel just had an article in the Trib. Less than 1% of those little plastic tops that go on your beers,
right,
which are 100% recyclable, but less than 1% of them actually get recycled.
Right, you need to bring those back to because, the brewery.
Yeah, yeah. So it's harder than you think. For those, and like a lot of people don't understand that beer cans with stickers and labels, like those have to be peeled off before you recycle them. So it's a lot about education and just getting out in front of people to say, like, something that seems like it is 100% recyclable, you do sometimes have to do a couple extra steps.
Right. Are you working with, like, the trash that leaves here, are you working with the people to pick it up, or are you working with the city of Oak Park to...
Yeah. So we've got a couple of really great partnerships this year. So Lakeshore Recycling is coming on to handle a lot of the waste that comes from the fest. They're taking all of the recycling. They're taking all of the landfill things, which should be very little. Mm-hmm. And then we also have Waste Not Compost that's coming on to compost all of the materials from the fest. Okay. And then they're going to process that and actually give us that soil back.
Oh, nice.
So Gary and his team will be able to use the soil that comes directly from this event. So making everything full circle, as mission-focused as we can. You can follow the socials that we're talking about mission and what does your compostable bowl look like? It looks like this, and you should compost it.
Yeah.
Here's how you do it, and here's the little stations. And as Gary mentioned, you're going to have volunteers that are going to help put you, but we're trying to remind everyone what the event's really for.
Yeah, I think that's important. Like a beer fest in Chicago, what's like 7% gets recycled there, so they're like,
it's tough.
It'd be tough to work with the city, but I think because you're in Oak Park, you maybe have a little more, it's easier to involve the city with that and like make it happen and work with the people involved than just like, oh
yeah,
Chicago's gonna be like, yeah, all right, put it.
You hope, you wish. I see what they recycle and don't. But yeah, the two new partners with Lakeshore and Waste Not Compost, which, you know, they're due residential to events, and they're really focusing on how do we make these events a little bit more compostable or a little bit more green than they have been in the past.
So. Yeah, I'm going to, you know, don't let me go on a rant here, but
Gary, could you stop ranting, please?
No, we've been doing this for 15 years, actually, prior to that, other zero waste events, and it's just not super complicated.
Okay.
It's just about having the will to do it,
and to
make it happen.
Yeah.
And now, you know, we work with the city of Chicago. We work with Chicago Public Schools. We have a zero waste schools program that we're implementing. We're working with CPS right now to scale up composting across the district. We've integrated 18 schools with composting systems, food scrap collection systems in the schools, and we're working on with the district to scale that up to across the district. It involves a lot of work with the vendors, with, you know, establishing standard operating procedures, right-sizing the services, making it cost-effective, all of those sorts of things. But all that stuff can be figured out. And Chicago, City of Chicago is now coming on board. Everybody realizes that waste reduction is part of a strategy to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, in addition to just, you know,
just saving them money.
Saving money and not, you know, landfills cost money to build, and nobody wants a landfill in their community. So it's really about people's will. And I kind of get tired of the excuses around this. Every event can and should be zero waste. Ours is. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, yeah. if you want to support an event that's has incredible craft beer and holds a high standard to the environmental component, then come to our event.
Yeah, man. I think this event has a ton of, like, distinguishable features. Yeah, and that's definitely one of them.
Yeah, so, I think the beer, Nick, you've said before when last time we were here, like, the suburban breweries, they'll come to Oak Park to have the fest.
It's a bizarre phenomenon, like, oh, right?
We're going downtown for a fest. No. You'll see Metal Monkey was here when we were here. It's like, we never see them at another fest.
Yeah, yeah. Last time we were here, that's what we noticed. Yeah.
Well, and so this is actually a pretty unique fest in which the brewers really love to be here themselves. So it's something that's fun for them. So we find that you do see a really high percentage of breweries that are here, but the actual brewer is here to enjoy and to be here pouring. And it's just an event that they love. And then as part of that, like, we have this Iron Brewer Challenge that is also super fun for them to be able to kind of flex their little brew muscles to maybe do some styles they're not super used to. And then there's, like, prizes, there's trophies. They really enjoy any sort of prizes you may get.
Now, Gianna, is this the artist formerly known as Replicale? At one point, Replicale was, right? That was one of the draws to this event.
So the term Replicale is owned by someone else. Okay. So we won't necessarily go into that. But from the time that it was Replicale, where it was a program, that it was all the same ingredients and all of that, we have really taken and morphed that into this fun Iron Brewer Challenge where... we have great sponsors in that Mid-Country Malt sponsors all of the malts, and Omega Yeast does a great discount on the yeast. But we go through and we pick 10 classic styles for 20 breweries to brew, and they have to pick them randomly.
Out of a hat, right?
Out of a hat, yes. So for some breweries, it may be something that's very much in their wheelhouse, but for some other breweries, it's something that is... a type of beer that 100% does not fit what they would typically brew. And they have to really figure out, like, how am I going to brew a Bohemian Pilsner with a system that does not have enough tanks to really do that.
I feel like that's probably more fun for the guests, too, because 20 breweries brewing Oktoberfest, you're like...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's super fun, and so that's the Iron Brewer Challenge that's part of the fest. It is a special ticket level... So it's judged by a professional panel of judges, and then there's also a popular vote. But that Iron Brewer level of ticket gets you in an hour early. You're guaranteed to get to try all of these beers, and the brewers are there to talk about why their beer is better than the other person that also got this style. So they'll definitely sell you on it.
So, Nick, you went old school retro with, you know, the Replicale thing. So appreciate that. The other component is the VIP component, which is being hosted right here by Cross Function. Do you want to tell us about the venue a little bit? Sorry.
No, I was just cheerleader. I was just cheering them on. That's all.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun with all the brands here. VIP is held here at the Boulevard Arcade and sponsored by Cross Function Flexible Workspace. That's the shared workspace component, the kind of the engine here at the arcade. And we're excited for everyone who's got a VIP ticket or thinking about getting one to come and join us. I think it officially starts at 1 or 12:30. I don't know, but there's going to be live music here in the studio, and then kind of amplified outside. We're going to have a couple of tents. Carnivore is catering, so you know the food's going to be good. And there's going to be a couple of breweries here. I may have to have your help with that also, but that all gets underway early.
What the carnivore sandwich is going to be?
Oh, yeah. So Carnivore's going to be here, but Maggie's Sweets is also going to be here with some super fun little cupcakes. But so Carnivore is planning on some ham and pimento cheese sliders on little pretzel buns that I'm super excited about. And a couple other really fun things that we're going to have. But then there's cupcakes and all of those other things. But then Haymarket's going to be here with some special beer along with Exit Strategy Brewery is going to have some beer. I believe Haymarket is going to be bringing their Chicago Uncommon, which is a collaboration they did with all of the Black-owned breweries throughout Chicagoland area. And then Kinslager is also bringing beer as well. And
what's happening at the rest of the beer fest?
One Lake. No, One Lake. One Lake is the other brewery that is going to have. So all of the local breweries, so you've got your One Lake, you've got your Exit Strategy, you've got your Kinslager. They're all super, super local. They're going to have beer in the VIP. And then Haymarket, as founding brewery, is also going to have a couple of beers here. So it's going to be super fun. We've got some great tunes coming. We're going to be doing sort of inside-outside kind of vibe, but really looking forward to it. It's going to be super fun to just kind of feel out this whole space.
And I think this year we have 70 breweries, but we have the most amount of restaurants in a long time that are going to be here. 70 breweries.
And we're drinking the breweries that are going to be here. We got the Phase 3.
No.
We got some Cruz Blanca, some Hop Butcher. What do you guys like to see that from the breweries that maybe are out of reach typically that you would go to that end up at Oak Park? I know you're putting on the festival, so you don't want
to
be like
to try very
these
much.
Just you don't want to play favorites. Either.
Well, right, like, but I will say most of the time favorites. I'm working with the Iron Brewers. So I have tried a lot of either the Replica or Iron Brew beers in the last. I think I've been working on this fest since 2013. So in the last how many ever years that is 9 years, right?
Oh, sure.
Yikes.
I was just talking to Cam over at Elmhurst Brewing, right? They won last year.
Yeah.
Right? So he's saying, hey, I want to defend my title. Old Irving won it a couple years in a row. So, you know, they're going to be gunning for it. So it's fun because, as you all know better than all of us, that the craft brewing community is a little bit of a healthy competition thing. But what mm-hmm. predominates is the craft brewing community's willingness to collaborate and to help out each other because they are committed to growing the craft beer industry. And like, you know, I don't know, Trent, for you in the for-profit world here, but I'll tell you, in my nonprofit world, even in the nonprofit world, the collaboration, the helping out, you get that with some partners, but I think the craft beer industry swings the bat and kills that piece in terms of the collaboration and helping each other out because they see themselves as part of the same cause. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing.
That's true. Coke's not doing a collab with Pepsi.
Right.
There you go.
What about you, Nick? Who do you like? Who are you excited to see here? Like,
you know,
we mentioned the Metal Monk. Like, we don't know the full list of the 70, just like off the top of our head.
I think
Pancake Place.
Flapjack. I'm here. I'm here for the Flapjack Brewing from Berwyn, Illinois. Hello.
I'm not likely to make it out there. There are places like that.
That's the thing.
That's a fun place to go.
Yeah.
I think this was always. I think in the past this was always a top five event, and part of it was, you know, the cobblestone streets, the draw to Oak Park, but then also it was this range of breweries. Like me and Brad, we have suburban roots, so we'll venture out to some of these places. But you rarely get to a party where everyone's there. The city folks are there, the suburban guys are there, and it's all like relatively close to the city because Brad alluded to it. The suburban folks don't come to the city that often. And I wanted to ask you a couple things about Seven Generations Ahead. I think it's a great name, right? I think it's a good cause. But then, was this party always like kind of, what do you call it, open to the public where everyone could come in? And was it always like, hey, let's party in downtown Oak Park? Was that always the vision for this party?
Well, first, yes, it was always open to the public. So we never had barriers where, you know, the general public couldn't walk through. You only got served beer if you had a wristband and a glass, right? And so, you know, the wonderful thing about downtown Oak Park is that our former mayor David Pope and his board of trustees decided to renovate this whole downtown area, and so the cobblestone, you know, streets, and they just opened it up to be a really, really beautiful downtown area. Of course, the festival is a quarter of a block from the Green Line stop and the Metro stop, so whether you're coming from the west suburbs or from the city, you don't have to worry about driving, you know. And for Oak Parkers, we're like, you know, ride a bike, take an Uber, whatever you want to do.
And if you do have a DD, there's like a parking garage too, right?
Yeah, no, you can do all that. So this venue is perfect from a transportation standpoint and from a carbon emission standpoint, which is important to us, of course, as an environmental nonprofit. Seven Generations' name is based on a Native American principle that states that in every decision that we make, we have to consider the impact that we'll have on the seventh generation. So it promotes long-term thinking, caring for people, caring for the natural environment, and you know, not necessarily your quarterly your profit.
Right.
So not that we're not anti-business, because we, as an organization, believe, of course, that you can have environmental prosperity, economic development, and social equity. That's what sustainability is. And we, all of our projects actually incorporate those elements. We're doing tons of work right now with Black and Brown and White communities in West Suburban Cook County, and of course in the city of Chicago, around solar energy, energy efficiency, waste reduction, et cetera. So all of those things, you know, we need to have a vibrant economy, but the economy can't be done in a way that's trashing our home. And that's bottom line. So that's part of the meaning behind this festival, right? It's got a deeper cause behind it. And there's so many breweries that are doing wonderful things, you know, like Rabid Brewing right now. They have relations with, it's a Latino-owned brewery. They've got relations with local farms. And they're
Rabbit or Five Rabbit?
No, Homewood.
Oh, Homewood. Rabbit. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So they're sending their, you know, their spent grains to these farms, and they have a real sort of a complete waste reduction ethic about their brewery. The Goose Island, right? The Green Line Project. It's all about creating a beer that has zero emissions, right?
Yeah, we talked with City Water about their that whole project, the 1-for-1-1 kind of thing. So yeah, I feel like it is great what all these breweries are doing and like trying to give back and support the communities that they're in, because they know how valuable the people are around them. They're supporting them and they want to be there and just add to it.
Beer with a purpose, man. Beer with a purpose.
Yeah. I love it when a beer does the spent grain dog biscuits.
Okay.
You know,
I've never had one.
You haven't eaten one of those? No. I mean, they're a little, they need some salt. No,
I mean, you should totally try it. They're super delicious. No.
My dog seems to like that.
You don't know, but like, what is the human version of the dog treat, really? Like, is there not like a full treat version that we can give ourselves as humans?
Yeah, man.
I suppose it's probably the pretzel. I don't know.
Oatmeal cookie. But, what is it?
Oatmeal cookie. Beer,
having said that, Beguile has...
You're at the top of the chain.
he's not wrong. Yeah. He's not wrong.
So Beguile's doing the spent grain dog treats. I think Midwest Coast is doing that too. Like, you're seeing like all of those things where things are being reused. And like reusing your grain in the city can be super, super tough, because farmers don't necessarily want to come into the city on your brew schedule. So it's so much fun to see what people are doing with that.
Yeah, keeping everything green. I love the fact that we have a mission behind what we're doing, and there's a cause, and the beer events, as I think Gary mentioned at the beginning, and I'm one of those. I'm one of those organizers who have organized, I don't know, countless of beer events, but it's nice when there's a cause and a mission behind what we're doing. So yeah. 70 breweries, 70.
Yeah, it harkens back to like the beginning of the boom of the local craft beer scene, where a lot of these events were based around a very specific purpose, a cause,
And, so, you know, I don't like to play favorites. I mean, I have my favorite event. We won't talk about that. But I have my favorite beer event of all time. But this is a close number two, because it is in cute downtown Oak Park, and you're on the street, and it's outside, and like people bring their dogs through, which is always fun.
Do you find that this one especially has a different audience than a typical beer fest? I know that has like changed a lot over the years, but this one does seem different.
I mean, all of us have seen all of the different beer events from A to Z, right? We've seen the crowd from A to Z. I would say yes, this is a little bit more family function, downtown park, cute, like a little bit more respectable in terms of some of the things. You don't see some of the tripping over each other sort of things.
Well, and to put some additional dressing on it, I mean, you know, we get a strong Oak Park crowd. Uh-huh. So for those folks, it's kind of like a reunion event. We get tons of people from the city of Chicago. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of the craft beer lovers. And then we get folks from the western suburbs, from literally across the state, who just are into craft beer. And it's like, well, why not come to a really nice town like Oak Park? And honest to God, I get stories from people that are coming in from other places across the country and internationally. So, you know, they have family here in the area. And it's like, why not go visit my family? You know, and I've had people from Guatemala, from Australia, and a small handful of other places that I'm not recalling right now that have said, hey, yeah, we come in for your fest, and that's our time to visit a family. So it's got this multi-layered audience. And of course, you know, craft beer lovers are just super friendly people. You know, they're just all in it about the craft beer. The police, from day one, they were scared to death about this event. What? Alcohol in the street? Oak Park? Former Dry Village? And then it was like, police chief would talk to me and say, you know what? I think I'm going to not work this event next year and just attend. Because this is an easy event. And, you know, every year you have to earn that. And so I'm not talking about that lightly, right? A lot of things can happen at events, but the craft beer crowd is what I'm speaking to, and it's just a wonderful group of people that enjoy craft beer and respect it.
And I will have to mention, I'd be remiss to say, like, when you're in downtown Oak Park, all the stores are open. Go in and visit these businesses. They're cute and quaint, and they have, you know, like, Jana goes and buys gifts. Her and I every year go and make sure we get our pistachio macaroons every year. All the shops are open, and so, like, that's the other fun thing about it, is that you can let's buzz shopping is amazing. Let's be real.
Yes.
Very dangerous.
So I am in this great position where my mom's birthday is on September 1st. So she always said that the greatest gift to her was the fact that school started on September 1st.
Oh, man.
But it gives me a great opportunity to shop downtown Oak Park to find a birthday present for my mom while I am here for the fest on the 20th. And every year I find the most amazing thing, and she loves it, and it's great. And, like, I don't necessarily make it over here to do that type of shopping, but, like, even in this whole rainstorm last year, everyone's like, oh my god, it's raining, ooh, rain. You know what? There's this awesome, like, little vintage toy store, and they had sock monkey umbrellas. So I'm walking around with my little sock monkey umbrella. Like, it was fun. It was great. Like, there's just, the community vibe is so fun.
Yeah.
That's fucking rad, man.
Yeah.
I dig that.
You really should get the pistachio macaroons. They're delicious. It's our midday snack. Jana just shows up with them every once in a while, finds me somewhere. It's amazing.
So what are we talking? August 20th?
August 20th.
Okay.
Yep.
And what's the time period, August 20th time frame?
So VIP starts at 1:00. The general admission fest runs 2 to 6, August 20th. Tickets are available at 7generationsahead.org.
And there are tickets available day of, right?
Yes.
So if you're on the fence or waiting to see what the weather's
It's super possible that, like, VIP and Iron Brewer may sell out ahead of time, but there are always general admission and tickets available day of.
Yeah. I think the VIP is sold out, but Iron Brewer still has tickets available.
I believe that's correct, yes.
And then, obviously, general admission. Yeah, you can buy the day of if that's something you want to do. We have people that buy tickets all the way up until an hour before the fest ends because they realize it's happening, and they're like, oh, I want some beer in downtown, and it's sunny, and it's nice, and it's beautiful. Right.
And they know there's going to be an after party.
Yes. The beer shop right across the way, yeah.
Yes, yeah. There will be after party at the beer shop. And, you know, the other thing, and you alluded to it some, we have some really wonderful sponsors that have helped with this event. Cross Function is one of those. And but, you know, Lakeshore Recycling Services, we've got...
One Lake Brewery
is there, you know, Beyond Properties, Gagliardo Realty tons of sponsors, and just go to the website because we can't mention them all right here. But, you know, again, this is a fundraiser for a nonprofit that's working to address the climate crisis. So any support that we get is going to help that work. And so it's really wonderful in life when you can combine mission and values with pure pleasure and fun. And that's what this event is about.
Now, I'd be remiss if you can't make it, you can't purchase a ticket, you can donate. You can just go to the same website and donate. We will also have t-shirts for sale this year for the first time that say, save the earth, it's the only planet with beer. So so we have some swag this year. So there's some other options if you can't be there to still help this wonderful cause.
That's cool. And then all the food with the beer, and you can have your own pretzel or sausage necklace if you want to bring
that. Our bratwurst necklace, apparently? Yeah.
We didn't say anything about the music. I'm sorry. I'm very psyched for the music. Talk it was great it. Last year, and it's going to be better than ever.
Yeah. Who do we all have?
So we've got great bands lined up. We've got Robert Ralph Feddersen is coming in. We've got DJ Dan Bryce. We've got the
Space Gators. Oh my gosh, they're a young band that's just like killing it right now. And the Half Brits, which are again another youngish band, and you know we've got a lot of youth coming into this event from the music standpoint. So it's always people dancing in the streets. We have 8 live bands, and then we got DJ Dan at a separate venue. So 3 music venues. You're right, Trent. The music is a big part of this.
Yes.
Nothing beats live music, man.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Good live music. And it's, so for people who don't know the location, yes, downtown Oak Park, it runs Marion Street from Lake Street to just
Pleasant.
To Pleasant. Thank you. So on North and South Avenues, which, by the way, that took me forever to realize that those were the actual names of the street and they weren't just talking about North and South of the train tracks. I'm not going to lie. But so you have those. So it takes up all of Marion Street on both sides of the tracks. It's really great.
Nice. Nick, anything else we're forgetting to ask?
No. I think we nailed it, man. We love Oak Park. We love coming out here. Very charming neighborhood. I think it's the closest suburb to downtown Chicago, right? I think that's part of what makes it special. We talked about, there was bagpipes in the past. We talked about the cobblestone streets. We talked about the cause. You know, I just want to say cheers to 7 Generations Ahead, Cross Function. Yeah.
Cheers to 15 years.
And 15 years of this lovely fest, man. This is going to be good. So.
Yeah, that's great. So head to the website, grab your ticket. Hope to see you there.
Yeah, man. Heather, Mr. Stoner, Jana, Gary, thank you for joining us. This was great.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you guys for having us.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.